Tonight we're on the Gospel of John, and let's seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit tonight as we consider His Word. Father, we praise You and we thank You. Your Word has been given unto us, O God, that we may be established in Your Word. And Father, we thank You that even as Your Word goes forth, You establish, O God, the lives of Your people, and You will cause them, O God, to come forth in the height of the of that which Your Spirit has called Your people to. And Father God, tonight we ask that You pour forth liberally the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And You cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know the hope of Your calling, the riches of Your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us who believe. Thank You, O God. And we promise, O God, for all that You do, we promise to give You all the glory, the worship, and the honor. For to You, O God, it belongs. And You do all things, O God, that we may give You glory, that we may give You worship, O Father. We worship You tonight, Father God. And we ask that You reveal to us the place of the Holy Spirit as we look into Your Word in the Gospel of John. Unveil this nugget of truth hidden by Your Spirit in this written Word. Thank You, O God, that You clarify things in our life. Cause each one here, O God, to hear the voice of the living God speaking into their hearts and their spirit. Let the Word go forth like a two-edged sword and a mighty hammer, breaking down everything that stands against Jesus Christ and every thought that rises up against Your kingdom and against Jesus Christ and against the Word of God. Build all those things, Lord, that will bring glory and bring peace and glory and love to all men, O God. We thank You, O Lord, that Your glory shall be revealed in these last days. Establish in Your people, O God, Your ministry of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John symbolizes Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the picture of the eagle. And one reason why we are teaching through the Bible, we have gone through Genesis, plotted right through Numbers, and gone through the prophetic books, and we are now in the New Testament. And the Lord reveals that the nation of Singapore is like Ephesus. You remember how in Acts 19, when the word, because of the Word of God that Paul taught in the school of one Tyrannus, that the people were built up, and as the Word continued to be taught daily in the school of Tyrannus, that God began to do special signs and wonders. And that was a commission that God gave me when I obeyed God and came nearly about 2 years ago, 1.5 years, and started teaching the Bible. And I know that something is going to take place at the end of this series as we complete the teaching of the Word of God. See, sometimes when God commissions and you're plodding through halfway, you don't see all of the glory yet. Praise God. Don't let the glory go down. And so it's just like God commissioned the building of the tabernacle of Moses. In case you did not know, it took them nearly one whole year to finish that work. It was glorious when they received the message to build the tabernacle. But it was a lot of hard work out there in the deserts building the tabernacle, and all the intricate parts took time to be built. While you're doing all those things, you don't taste the glory, you don't feel the glory, but you know you're doing what God asks you to do. The most important thing is to be obedient to what God commissions and commands us to do. And yet, at the end of everything, when in Exodus 40, Moses has laid all the tabernacle and he has placed all the intricate parts together, there, the glory of God came into the place. God rewards obedience. God blesses obedience. The book of John has a picture of the tabernacle of Moses inside. And we're going to see how there's a movement in the book of John going from the brazen altar right up to the Ark of the Covenant. We know that in the Old Testament, there are that there are three parts of the tabernacle. And there is the first part, as you enter the gate, you see the brazen altar. And then just straight ahead after the brazen altar is the laver. And then there's a big veil that separates the outer court from the holy place, which is the second place. And only the priest could go through that first veil. And as the priest go through the first veil, over on the right side will be the table of showbread, and over on the left side will be the candlestick. And then there will be a second veil. But just before the second veil is the altar of incense. And then only the high priest, once a year in the Day of Atonement, can enter the second veil into the third portion, which we call the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. And so all these six pieces of furniture are seen in the book of John. The book of John gives us the hidden life of Jesus Christ. There are three major movements in the Gospel of John. There is a time when in the Gospel of John, you enter the first veil. And then there's another time when you enter the second veil. And it's so clearly marked that we couldn't miss it if we look at it from the Tabernacle of Moses viewpoint. Remember, we are doing a book-by-book study, and there's some details and some passages that you could actually expound on a few verses here and there. But we are trying to give an overall view so that the next time when you read the Gospel of John, you will have an outline or tools to analyze the book of John further. Gospel of John, in chapter 1, we began to see the brazen altar. The brazen altar symbolizes Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And as Jesus Christ started His ministry, in the Gospel of Luke, we talk about, we explain about John 1 verse 1, how Jesus came into the world, etc. So we won't repeat that. And here in the Gospel of John, we see as Jesus begins His ministry, that He was given an announcement by John in verse 29. It says here, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He could have said, "Behold, the brazen altar." Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. And the beginning of our relationship with God starts at the brazen altar. The brazen altar symbolizes the power of the blood. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, the only means by which we could get into relationship with God is where the blood is shed. And so we all start at the brazen altar. Behold the Lamb of God. And John continues, verse 30, "This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon him. I did not know him, but he was sent me. He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Apparently, the other people may not have seen the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. Maybe it was visible to some. But definitely it was a sign given to the apostle, to John the Baptist, that this was the one whom God has marked as the Lamb of God. That is none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, as we all know, John, the Gospel of John gives us the inside picture of Jesus' inner life. And as Jesus began His ministry, we read how in Mark chapter 1, He began His public ministry after John was in prison. So now John gives us some clues and indications of what Jesus did before he launched out into a public ministry. And let's compare some scriptures together in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, now after John was put in prison, you could see that Jesus had a time to manifest himself. There's a time to be behind the scene, and there's a time to be publicly launched forth. The same thing is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 4, Matthew verse 11, and it tells us that the timing is sometime after the 40 days of temptation. Matthew 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. So we see here a demarcation of Jesus' private and public ministry. The moment the Holy Spirit came upon his life, Jesus was not launched out publicly yet. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon your life and anoints you for certain ministry, and you would expect that straight away the doors would open. It does not open yet. Instead of God sending you to the city, God sent you to the wilderness. And you're saying, God, why am I coming this way? God says, keep quiet, just follow. God has His plan. And then after you finish the 40 days, you're already, and it looks like you're already, and yet there was still some time. In the Gospel of Luke, it looks that like when he had just come up from the wilderness, he went straight to his the place and declared the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But here the Gospel of John tells us some inside picture of what he did after the Holy Spirit came upon him privately. And we have seen so much of Jesus' public ministry, but one of the most important things that Jesus did in his private work was choosing his disciples. Publicly, he had a work to go out and publish and preach the gospel. Let's cross-reference now in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Jesus has begun his public ministry in Capernaum. And when people were looking for him, in verse chapter 1, verse 38, Jesus said to them, those who were looking for him, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. See, Jesus began his public ministry and he went public. There's a time when he was private. His ministry was private. John gives us an inside scene of what he did privately. And even though there was no public ministry, Jesus was building the inner structure of his ministry. In fact, what Jesus did privately was the most vital thing in his entire life and ministry. Because it was what he did privately that lasted after he went home to God the Father. While Jesus has a public ministry to go to all the towns to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand, he had a private commission to go and select disciples. And there were some places he go just because God wanted to choose one of those guys there. And let's now glimpse at some of those things that were happening in the other Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, let's cross-reference from the Gospel of Matthew. We see his public ministry. In Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's his public ministry. But look, the next verse tells about his private ministry. Verse 18, now Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he came to them and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you don't have John's Gospel, you would have thought that was the first time he met them. It was not. He has met them before. John tells us that before he asked them to follow him, John tells us that it was Andrew who came to know Jesus first. That's where we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we see here in verse 35, The next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That was his message. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and seeing them following, said, "What do you seek?" They said, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he says, "Come and see." And then they stay where he is. And verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, Jesus has not called them to come and follow him yet.